Monster Man, bonus episode, November 2021.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
Today's episode is a bonus episode, going out to all of my Patreon backers at whatever level, as a way of saying thank you for your continued support. So, November has been a pretty eventful month for me. It's been a month when I kind of simultaneously started to feel a little more okay with going out and being in contact with people, and then also, you know, I don't know how fast this is going to age, but right at the beginning of December, people started to be concerned about the Omicron variant of COVID-19. I think that that's something that that I should have anticipated, and maybe we all should have anticipated, maybe other people did, but I, you know, even though I may have known intellectually, I didn't really feel it, but that reopening or having more access to, like, the public would go up and down and up and down rather than being, you know, just a continuous, like, return to normal. Prompted by that concern, so I went to a LARP event in November. That was nice. I was a crew rather than a player, but I got to see lots of people who I hadn't seen since the last one I went to, which was almost exactly 2 years prior to this one. So that was nice. Then, of course, the first weekend of December traditionally is Dragon Meet. And, you know, I had some anxiety about going. In the end, I felt reasonably okay. I mean, we'll see how it goes, obviously, taking post-convention tests and so on. But the week before, I was able to book an appointment to get my booster COVID-19 jab. And, you know, they didn't have very many locations near me, but, you know, my wife was able to get one that was nearby, but was in a couple of weeks' time. Whereas I had to, like, go a little bit out of my way and go to a nearby town to get mine. But, you know, when you're self-employed, sometimes you're able to do that, and it so happened that that day I was able to do that. And I combined going to get this important thing done and feeling pretty crummy the next day with a visit to a game store that's not the one I regularly go to. So there's a little game/comic/book shop in Huntington, a little place called Niche. Anyway, while I was there, I bought a copy of an RPG. I bought Romance of the Perilous Land by Scott Malthouse. It's published by Osprey. I've been reading through it. It's it's set in kind of like a fantasy world of British legend and folklore. It's not necessarily an Arthurian game. Like, it has King Arthur in it, but it also has, like, Robin Hood. And consequently, it's got a pretty good, like, British folklore bestiary. So we've got, like, it's got boddocks, it's got bogies and boggarts and brownies and cooshies and so on and so forth. It's got specific monster characters, which I think is something that's more common in folklore than it is in role-playing games. So, like, Ettins are a thing in RPGs, but the Red Ettin of Ireland is the thing in the folktale, right? So that's cool. I'm sort of looking forward to that. I might even try and run it for... I have my regular gaming groups, and then I have, like, a more intermittent gaming group who, just because of scheduling and things, you know, find it hard to meet very frequently, but I think that that might be a game that they would like, you know, that they would combine some of their interests. They tend to like a kind of lower fantasy games. I'm looking forward to giving it a go. I do think Osprey publishes its rule books for RPGs in this kind of, I don't know what the name of the, like, the format size is, but I think it's actually a little smaller than the format of their war games, you know, of things like Frostgrave or Gaslands, and much smaller than kind of a typical RPG book, and I'm not sure about it. I actually think in RPG design, there's a case to be made for big pages. So this is something that is easier to take on the train and read, but maybe something that it's a little more difficult to use at the table? I'm not sure. Having said that, I'm going to feel like a hypocrite now because, of course, when I went to Dragon Meet, all I bought were weird little indie things, and they're all, you know, in that A5 format that is kind of the mark of the British indie scene. So what did I get at Dragon Meet? Obviously, I got some miniatures. Oakbound Studios were also there. They're one of the few miniatures companies that really makes the Dragon Meet trip, and I feel like there were other ones that could do pretty well if they did, honestly. But I'm glad Oakbound does. I love their stuff. And I picked up a few models there. I picked up a couple of little indie RPGs. So one produced by Ether Corp called Orchid Delirium. And I got it. I mean, to be perfectly frank with you, I'm probably never going to run this game about playing, like, obsessed Victorian orchid hunters. But, I don't know, it's just such an appealing package that I liked the design. I liked that kind of, like, it comes with some pennies as the playing pieces. I don't know. It called to me, I guess. It's credited to EtherCorp. Like, genuinely, the authors aren't credited in it, which I guess, like, it's hard to imagine that this is big indie RPG not crediting the writer. So there must be a decision they made, but that's unusual to me. You'll be astounded to learn it doesn't have a bestiary, and neither does History Dig Live by Becky Anderson, which is another game that I got because it's about playing archaeologists, or like TV arc. You play like Time Team, basically. A thinly disguised version of Time Team. Things that I did get that have bestiaries in them. I wanted the original book, but they didn't have a copy of it when I was at the stall, but I got the spin-off. This is a thing called Tooth and Claw, Beasts of the Sea by Shanice Fagan, and I spoke briefly to one of the people there who told me that the thing about Shanice Fagan is that she's in fact a zoologist, right? Like, she has a relevant degree, and this whole bestiary, this one's all about sea creatures. This is the second book, is about sea creatures, but there's an original book, which I'm now definitely going to get. And it's basically just kind of like fantasy creatures written from the perspective of a biologist, but like written by, you know, kind of like grounded in how strange real world sea life is, to the point that they almost feel plausible. Like, there's nothing all that weirdly magical about them. And I really like the idea of like island turtles, you know, like, you know, where they have the kind of like ecosystems on their backs, but they start out really small and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the ecosystems can get bigger and bigger. And I love the idea that like rich people almost keep them like bonsai. I'm sure that's been in something else as well, but I just like the idea of some, you know, some rich guy, like the lake on his property, having this island turtle in it that he's had brought in. It gets to be a lagoon rather than a lake. So that was fantastic. That's so far, I think that's, well, I don't want to say my favorite, but it's definitely one of my top things from Dragon Meat. And I'm like, genuinely, I'm astonished. I had never even heard of these books before, to the point that there's two of them. That's wild. I'm gonna get the first one for definite. I picked up something which does not itself contain like a bestiary per se, but there are some monsters in it, and that was a Troika scenario. That's Slow Slay to Plankton Downs by Ezra Clavery. If you've been around the show for a while, you will recall that I like the work of Ezra Clavery, like the last of his scenarios that I bought. This one's from the Melsonian Arts Council. That was The Crypts of Indormancy. And this one is, you know, set in that kind of weird science fantasy, surreal, Troika default setting, such as it is. But it's about, like, you're on this kind of, like, icy science fantasy world. You're going on a long-distance journey, and you're basically on, I guess technically it's a hovercraft. Rather than a sleigh per se, but it's called the Nantucket Sleigh Ride. It's the actual name of the hovercraft. And so you're on this voyage from one part of it to another, you know, surrounded by like a freezing landscape when there's a murder on board. So I think that's great. Like, you know, obviously think of the kind of like bizarre characters that you get in a Troika setting, and then think of the fun of doing kind of like Murder on the Orient Express with a set of those characters. And then think of the fact that it's written by Ezra Clavery, a writer who is, I'm going to call him idiosyncratic. I'm a fan. It is obviously bad to stop writing your scenario in order to go into a digression about Warhammer, but also, you know, I don't think this rare gem should be pressed into a different shape. But so it has monsters in it. I don't want to give away the identity of the murderer. Of course, like any Troika thing, it's full of backgrounds. Troika backgrounds are both a thing that I'm glad to see more of, and a thing that, like, I think it may be a bit of an easy way to approach the system. Lots of things that are just backgrounds for Troika are often, you know, you read them and you go, oh, that's funny. And then that's sort of it. I was a little disappointed to read this entry for Macrame Owl. And I really thought that was a character, like one of the suspects, first name Macrame, last name Owl. And so I was a little disappointed that it was just another Troika background. But also, Troika is the kind of game where Macrame Owl could conceivably be, you know, a character background or someone's name. So, and I guess I got the new Frostgrave book came in the mail today. Blood Legacy. I haven't even opened it, but it's got vampires in it. I'll tell you that much. So I guess I might be painting some vampires for a game that I am not going to play. It's not that I don't like Frostgrave. I do like it. But it's very much the case that I have bought more Frostgrave books in the last year than I have played games of Frostgrave. Basically, because Stargrave came out. even then, during that period, I've probably only played 9 or 10 games of Stargrave. You know, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's definitely being a fulfilling game for me. I'm just kind of collecting the series, which is a bad attitude to have. I mean, maybe the last 2 or 3 books I haven't read all the way through, but why would I, since I'm not intending to play the game anytime soon? I guess what I'm saying is, if anybody wants to play some Frostgrave, you know, let's get it. So the other thing that I've been doing is planning my upcoming fantasy campaign, because my long-running post-apocalyptic game is coming to an end. It began in March 2018, so it's been going for about 3.5 years, a little bit longer than that, actually. And, you know, we had a big climactic battle. I remain still not that good at balancing opposition in big climactic battles, so I think the players came off a little bit easier than I anticipated. One of them did nearly die. But, you know, I this isn't really what I wanted to focus on. It was more kind of how they related to the different factions that were involved. You know, that's going to kind of determine what their part of the world is going to be like going forward. And I think in that respect, it was a lot of fun. Plus, big visual spectacle with miniatures. One of the things that I really care about in games is using miniatures to like spark creativity and be evocative and like feel the imagination, rather than being restrictive or taking people out of the imaginary world to focus on the real world of the table in front of them, if that makes sense. I have thoughts about this, but I don't know that I could necessarily articulate them. I am going to be making lots and lots of little monsters for my upcoming fantasy game. But so yeah, that's been kind of like bubbling away in the back of my head, and things that I've been watching or reading or listening to, such as the new Wheel of Time TV series, are definitely all going into that pot, right? All those things are going into the pantry. As for the new Wheel of Time TV series, I was a huge fan of those books when I was a kid. I didn't stick with the series through the end, but I definitely read the first, at least the first 5 or 6, and maybe more than that. You know, it was a long time ago, so I don't really remember. So I'm constantly, as I watch that show, which is fine. It's fine. It's not amazing. It's fine. As I watch that show, I'm constantly being like confronted with things I remember. Like, oh yeah, this guy. Oh, right. But I don't know whether they're like where they belong in the story or where they, or really what they're like. I just sort of remember like, oh yeah, this guy, I remember this guy is a vampire. Now, I don't think anyone's actually a vampire. That's just an example. So that's a very strange feeling. It's a little bit like, you know, when you're a comic book fan, if you watch like superhero movies, you know you're going to see elements that you remember, but they're going to be used in such different ways. They're going to be combined in different ways. So I guess it's a little bit like that, but also you might not see the elements you remember. I don't know. I am not recommending that you watch it, but it's probably the fantasiest thing that I've been watching lately. So I guess it kind of feels relevant to the show. All right, that is about all the time that I have for this episode. Once again, you know, I talked about all the things that I got at Dragon Meet, but the really great thing about it was seeing people, seeing friends, and seeing game creators. Some of, you know, people I've talked to online, but I've never met in person, and so on. And that was a lot of fun. Like, it was nice to get some compliments about the Pamphlet of Pantheons. That was really nice. And about the show. So if I, you know, if I met you there, then I'm glad I did. And if I didn't, then I hope to see you there next time. But hopefully, I will be able to fill December's episode, with a load of holiday reading. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I hope that I'll be able to talk to you then on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.